Okay, good morning. We're going to get started. The presentation I'm going to do is a presentation called Building Apps for both Windows 8 and Windows Phone. It's all about trying to reuse as much of your code as you build apps, whether you're building for Windows Phone or Windows 8, trying to reuse as much of your code as possible between those two projects. This is some content that I built and presented about 6 months ago. It's all been videotaped and so on. It was about 4 hours of content to do this topic, and so they asked me to do that, but they only gave me an hour. So we're going to go very fast, but all of the content is available online, is available as video, and source code, and I'll give you the resources at the end of the session where you can go and get more details around maybe some of the things. And of course, I should also give you my contact info. In fact, I would even say that it's dangerous not to take my contact info. Either you follow me on Twitter or Facebook, or this cute little kitty is going to get it. So you can find all of my contact info, email, Twitter, Facebook, Google+, the podcast I do, and all that good stuff. You can find me at about.me/ben.riga. So if you have any questions about this session, about anything related to Microsoft or Windows Phone, please email me or tweet, DM me, or Facebook message me, or whatever. I'll try and answer, and if I can't answer, I'll try and find someone who can answer. Especially about this content, because this content, like I say, it's 4 hours of content that I'm squeezing into an hour, and so I'm thinking probably we may miss some details. So if there's something that you don't understand, maybe you miss the gap, please email me or text me or what have you. So let's get started. So what should you expect from this session? After this presentation, you should have a really good understanding of what the differences and similarities are between Windows 8 and Windows Phone, so that you can make some design and architecture decisions as you're building applications. And we'll also talk about how to build apps in such a way, to architect your apps in such a way that it will make it easier for you to port your apps from Windows 8 and Windows Phone. And in fact, I would even say that there are now some techniques that you can use using some of these same techniques. You might even be able to take your apps to iOS and Android using C#. So probably won't cover that. What I'm not going to talk about, I'm kind of expecting that you know how to write a Windows Phone application, that you have a basis for that, or that you know how to write a Windows 8 application. Again, I'm trying to set a baseline here. We're not going to talk about, this is not a beginner session. There is also no way to write applications that run on both Windows 8 and Windows Phone. You do have to have two different applications, so don't expect that you'll be able to write one application and then deploy to Windows 8 or Windows Phone Store or Windows 8 Store. They have to be two applications, not possible to build one. So with that in mind, let's jump into it. As you can imagine, and what you probably already know, and that's why this guy is so happy, is that we're on the path to a sort of a convergence between Windows Phone and Windows 8 at an API level. We're not quite there yet. Over time, you're going to see it getting closer and closer. And so that's kind of what we're going to talk about today, how you can take advantage of what's available today. But that convergence of APIs, I think, will make your job as developers really easy. If you think about Windows 8, the platform from Windows 8, that's sort of the latest and sort of the path that we're on across all of our tools and APIs. And of course, Windows 8 has desktop apps and so on. We're not talking about that. We're talking about Windows Store applications, and in particular, I'm going to talk about C#, the C# or VB Stack. It's kind of the same thing. And ultimately, the most important part really is the WinRT APIs. There is a lot of overlap in WinRT APIs between Windows 8, and I'm talking about Windows 8. I realize we announced Windows 8.1 about 8 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago, about 10 days ago or so at our Build conference. I'm not really going to go into it. And in fact, it doesn't really affect too much of what we're talking about today, because it's Windows Phone that is sort of a subset of Windows 8, and that hasn't changed. So when you think about that stuff, like I say, there's this WinRT APIs. There's lots of them in Windows 8. Unfortunately, not all of them have made it to Windows Phone yet. So if you think about Windows Phone and think about the evolution of Windows Phone, when we released Windows Phone 7 a little while ago, maybe 3 years or so ago, that was before Windows 8, It was all about .NET, and in fact, we were using Silverlight and so on, and C# and VB. But when we released Windows Phone 8, we made a critical step of actually introducing the Windows Phone runtime, which is kind of a subset, a pretty interesting subset of the Windows runtime. And then, of course, we also have C++. So that's the part that's sort of interesting here, in that when you're building for Windows Phone, you have a choice of different APIs, different choices. If you're using C++ and you're building games, you might be thinking about DirectX, and that's highly portable between Windows Phone and Windows 8. They're almost identical. What we originally had, the .NET, that stuff is not as portable to Windows 8. So you should be thinking about using the Windows Phone runtime whenever you can. And if you have sort of gone down the path of .NET, you should, as you re-architect or refactor your code, you should be thinking about, where possible, moving to the Windows runtime. And so if you think about that, there is this big thing called the Windows runtime, and then there's this other thing called the Windows Phone runtime, and there is, like I said, there's a convergence, and there's a certain intersection point that you see there, and there are a set of APIs where it makes it very easy for you to port applications. And these are APIs that you can reuse that are either identical or very, very close between Windows Phone and Windows 8. And so we'll talk about some techniques of how you can take advantage of that in your project. Before we get into the APIs, I did want to spend some time talking about the user interface, because as you can imagine, when you look at it, optically, Windows 8 and Windows Phone kind of look the same. And so you expect, well, of course, I'm going to write one application, and the UI is just going to be the same. And it's a little bit more complex from that. So let's look at the differences between Windows Phone 8 and Windows 8. When you think about form factors of devices and the things that you see, Windows Phone 8 has really only three form factors: the original 800 by 480, 1280 by 720, and 1280 by 768. It does have two orientations, portrait and landscape, and primarily, when you're on a phone, it's primarily portrait, right? That's how most people use it. You hold it in one hand, and you're trying to use your thumb to scroll and so on. That's sort of how devices are used in a form factor. And typically, screen sizes are less than 5 inches. In fact, all of our screens are less than 5 inches. Windows 8 is a little different. There are many, many, many different types of screens. As you can imagine, over the years, the different types of monitors that you have, and all of them can be used using on Windows 8. So anything 1024 by 768 and above is usable on Windows 8. So you have to keep that into mind. There are really four different orientations for Windows 8 applications. You have the full screen landscape mode, right? That's the primary one where you have your app takes over the whole screen and that's the way it is. You also have a snapped view where you snap and you have about I think it's about a quarter of the screen on the left or on the right side. And then the rest of the screen can be used by something else. So that snap view is that short one. And then the rest of that is what's called the filled view. Your applications have to take advantage of that. And then you can also think about your device where you tilt it and it's portrait view. So those are the four that you have to take into account. And as you can see, there's a difference between Windows 8. In fact, Windows 8 on a tablet application is really meant to be used with two hands. If you look at the gestures, it's two hands held on left and right and using your thumbs to get to the charms and to get to your applications and so on. So it is kind of different. And again, it's 10-inch plus screen, so it's quite different from a form factor. And so related to that, there are some considerations that you have to take into advantage. You should try and design a native UX for each platform. Again, Windows Phone 8, primarily one-handed touch. Of course, you can use two hands if you're playing games. Sometimes you might. But primarily, you should be designing applications that are one-handed, because that's what most people want. You are guaranteed some hardware on Windows Phone. The hardware profile for a Windows Phone device requires that the manufacturers give you hardware. On Windows 8, you really don't have any guarantee of specific hardware, so you always have to check, and your application has to degrade gracefully depending on what the hardware is that's available. The form factor for a Windows Phone is actually quite narrow and very small, right? 5-inch screens, very narrow. And so typically, you don't want multiple columns of information. Windows 8, you can have up to, I've seen 84-inch screens. that are Windows 8 applications. And so you can have lots of columns of information. In fact, it's often encouraged. So rows and columns can work well. Typically, on Windows 8, your screen scrolls left and right. On Windows Phone, typically, it scrolls up and down. So again, your UI is quite different. You have limited room for an app bar on Windows Phone. You have really a small area at the bottom that's very structured and very limited to four buttons and some menu items. On Windows 8, you have as many items as you want. You have an area on the top and the bottom. You can do all sorts of grouping and do buttons. And pretty much you have a lot of leeway to do many things with the app bar. On Windows Phone, you always have a hardware back button. And so there's some things you don't have to worry about. Whereas Windows 8, you have to worry about the back button. You have to include it in your application. And it's part of the certification requirement. So it's one of the things that you need to think about. Windows 8 has a very cool feature called Semantic Zoom. Users expect it, so you have to build it into your application. Windows Phone, there is no concept of Semantic Zoom. So you can do it, but it's sort of an extra thing that end users don't really expect. So you have to keep that in mind. So again, as you think about these things, you can see that there's actually quite a bit of difference between Windows 8 and Windows Phone. And ultimately, my advice to you, if you're building Windows 8 and Windows Phone, is don't try and reuse your XAML between Windows 8 and Windows Phone. You can reuse XAML for custom controls and that sort of thing if you're building controls that are custom to your application. There, yes, of course, you can reuse it. You may be able to cut and paste XAML from one application to another. But in general, I would say try to avoid trying to reuse your XAML files. And so some of the things that we've talked about, right? User experience, screen space, page layout and orientation, all of those things. And then there's a couple of extra things that make it even harder, things like XAML namespaces, right? There are many similar controls between Windows 8 and Windows Phone, but even where they're similar, the namespaces are different. And so it makes it much harder, and it just makes it difficult to reuse those controls in those XAML files. So Windows 8, for instance, uses the windows.ui.xaml.controls namespace. That's where most of the controls are. Windows Phone controls are in microsoft.phone.controls or microsoft.phone.shell, right? And so again, these things make it very difficult to reuse. And there are, in many cases, some controls that are unsupported, either Windows Phone controls that you won't see on Windows 8 or Windows 8 controls that you won't see on Windows Phone. So again, that makes it harder. When you do talk about controls, there is some, not much, but there is some overlap of controls, but there are some significant differences as well. So for instance, on Windows Phone 8, the phone application page is your root element. On Windows 8, it's the page control that is the root element. You use something called a long list selector in Windows Phone to scroll long lists of information or lists of information. On Windows 8, you use the list view typically to scroll vertically, and then you have the grid view to group and scroll, and then you have this app bar. The app bar control is very different on Windows 8, and you have an app bar on Windows Phone, but it's actually called application bar. And so all of these things, to summarize, don't try and reuse your XAML. These are some examples of the controls. I'm not going to go through this. I think most of you have a pretty good idea of what the controls look like on Windows 8 and what they're called and so on, and similarly on Windows Phone. So how am I doing so far? Does this make sense? Am I going too slow or too fast? So far, so good? Thumbs up? Okay. And you're all going to follow me on Twitter, right? Even if you don't do it for me, do it for the kitty. Okay, all right, so now that we understand that there are some UI things, your application obviously is not all UI. In fact, if you think about it, a lot of your application is what's behind the UI, right? It's the business logic, it's the data models, and of course, it's what's up on the server, right? So the stuff up on the server, we're not even going to talk about that. That is obviously reusable. But the stuff in your code, if you think about and you architect your application properly, you have things like your data model and your business logic that can, for the most part, be largely reused. Probably close to 90 or more percent of that code can be reused. Don't expect full reuse. Don't re-architect your application to try and force it to be full reuse. There are some techniques that you can use that make it easy for you to reuse and also make your application maintainable. And there are a couple of these that we're going to talk about as much as we can today, because I know we're limited on time. Things like portable class libraries, how to share source code between applications so you're not using cut and paste, which can be hard to maintain, things like class inheritance, and then there's some architecture patterns that I'll talk about very briefly, and then things like conditional compilation. And we'll go through some of the pros and cons. Now, as I mentioned, there are, even within the business logic, there are some things that you have to be aware of that are very platform specific. And I've gone through some of them, things like application lifecycle. How does your application get pushed to become inactive or to be tombstoned? Things like tiles and toast notifications, although they look the same, they're actually quite different on Windows Phone and Windows 8. System services, things that are going on behind the scenes, are different. Background processing is different. Image capture, photo, and so on. Video capture, the app bar, as I mentioned, is quite different. And also, right now, networking is quite different. Things like the web request or HTTP request on Windows Phone. You notice I've said maybe with exclamation mark, because they're actually, I'm not going to talk about today, but the HTTP request, which is this very cool, system.net.http, that allows you to do some very cool things using async to get stuff out on the cloud. That's something we introduced with Windows 8. We've also introduced a portable class that does that, so you can download it and use it. It's still in beta, but I would encourage you to start thinking about it and using it, and where possible, use it. Now, of course, it's in beta, so be careful about going to production with it. But networking becomes much easier when you start using HTTP requests across all of your applications. Okay, I'm starting to lose my voice here. So, we talked about things like UI and data models and business logic. And so if you think about it and you want to reuse your code, you have to architect in such a way that you can do that. And typically, the architect or the best practice or the pattern that we see used quite often, and we've seen it in WPF, we've seen it in Silverlight, is the one called MVVM. Just out of curiosity, how many people use MVVM today? Okay. How many people have never heard of MVVM? How many people don't know how to spell MVVM? Okay. All right. So MVVM is a pattern. If you've never heard of it, that's okay. It's actually very easy to get into it. There's a lot of open source. There's a lot of content that we've developed. And in fact, the stuff I talked about earlier, the videos that I've done, I go into it in a lot more detail. The concept of data binding just makes building applications with MVVM and having separate UIs, it just makes your job much easier. So I'm not going to cover it here, but essentially what you try to do with MVVM is separate your concerns. You're going to have your data model, you're going to have your view. So your data model obviously is your data, whether you're using SQL or you're getting data from the cloud or you have something in local storage, that's your data model. You have your view, which is your UI, and like I said earlier, it's probably not a lot of reuse there. And then in the middle is what we call view models. That sort of is the glue between the two, which allows you to abstract, and because we have data binding, it just makes it very easy to separate your view model, which is the logic, from your actual views. You may have heard of Model View Controller if you've used ASP.NET or even some of the other some competitor products, like iOS, for instance, uses MVC. If you're comfortable with MVC, you'll be very comfortable with MVVM. In fact, I think it's even a little bit easier. So again, it's an architectural pattern. The model handles the data. I think I've talked about all of this stuff. The MVVM allows you to separate those things that we talked about, right? If you can separate out your views, then those are the ones that you're going to have to rewrite between the two applications. And if you separate those views, then what you're left with is your business logic and your data model logic, and those are fairly portable. And so let's talk about some of the things that are related to that. Related to data models, probably some of the things that you have to do in your application is store data locally, whether it's locally on the device, the phone device, or on the Windows 8 tablet or desktop. And so there are some things that you can do. Both Windows 8 and Windows Phone support storage of key value pairs, typically for settings and files and folders. And when you do that, your storage is isolated to your application, and so you can't share it, and no other apps can touch it. It's actually quite useful. Windows Phone 8 includes natively on the device a SQL database called SQL CE. Windows 8 does not include a SQL database, but there are what most people use is SQLite, which is an open source SQL database, and there are libraries for SQLite that you can import and use very easily in Windows 8. There are many shared APIs that you can take advantage of. If you're storing locally, you should think about moving to the Windows.storage namespace. That is one that we introduced with Windows 8. And if you do that, it just makes your job a lot easier. You take advantage of async and await, which again makes your job easier. There are some things, though, that you can't do on Windows Phone, because Windows Phone is a subset of those full APIs. And so things like roaming your data store, which is very handy, very useful, users love it on Windows 8, that's not available on Windows Phone. Things like temporary data store, local settings, roaming of settings, all of that stuff is just not available yet on Windows Phone. So in summary, I mean, this table sort of says it all, right? The one that's really important and the one that you should be thinking about using wherever possible is Windows.storage, because that's available on Windows Phone and Windows 8. When you're storing application data settings, Windows 8 supports the application data dot settings for local and roaming. And then if you're on Windows Phone, then you got to use system.io.isolatedstorage.isolatedstorage.settings. And then SQL CE, it says yes for Windows Phone, but like I said, for Windows 8, you can use SQLite and typically, and in fact, you can use SQLite on Windows Phone 8 as well. And in fact, I would encourage you to do that. It just makes your porting, you don't have to think about it, right? Because SQLite is the same across. It's sort of the best of all possible worlds. Okay, so now that we understand, we've talked about UI, we've talked about local storage, there is a bunch of other stuff that's sort of in the middle, the business logic. And so we're going to talk about some techniques that you can use to share code between Windows Phone and Windows 8 using Visual Studio. Some of these are code techniques, some of these are just tool techniques that you can take advantage of. We'll talk about portable class libraries, how to share source code between files, so between files and between projects in a way that you don't use cut and paste, so that if you fix a bug in one, you don't fix it in the other, and it just makes it maintenance nightmare. Inheritance obviously is very useful, and you can take advantage of that to do some good stuff. Conditional compilation, pound if statements, and so on. You can also use partial classes and methods. We're not going to talk about it today because I don't think we're going to have enough time, but we can maybe talk about it at the end in the Q&A. Okay, so let's talk about some of these reuse techniques. The first one, and probably the one that you'll find the most useful, is what's called the portable class library. And this is, it's essentially a project template in Visual Studio that allows you essentially build a DLL that gets compiled and then can be reused as is in either Windows Phone or Windows 8. And so you can have code that you write once and that you share it identically. You can actually reuse the same DLL and deploy to Windows 8 or deploy to Windows Phone. Same code. So that's really useful. It only works for managed code, so you can't do it with C and C++. As you can imagine, there are some APIs that are only available on Windows Phone and only available on Windows 8. And so by using a portable class library, it kind of forces you to limit yourself to only those APIs. And in fact, the system will tell you when you try to use an API that's just not available. And so it's available for Windows, Silverlight, Windows Phone, or Xbox. And so typically you would be worried about Windows and Windows Phone, and so you would do that. And I'll show you how that works in a couple seconds. You can't use other namespaces in portable class libraries because that would sort of break the idea of being portable. And so you can only use other portable class libraries in your portable class libraries, as you can imagine. Does that make sense? So it is limited, but it does make your job much easier. It's more portable, it allows you to make your applications more modular, and it just makes your job easier by encapsulating all that code in a way that you can do it. So let's actually see what that means. How many people are using PCLs today? Just one? Okay. All right, well, this is good then. All right, let me skip over to Visual Studio. Can you guys see this okay in the back? Yes? Okay, let me just zoom in just so I show you here. So if we look in my Explorer, Solution Explorer here, this is a solution that has three projects. It's got reuse.pcl, which, as you can imagine, is my portable class library. It's got reuse.win8, which is a Windows 8 project. And it's got reuse.wp8, which is, as you can imagine, a Windows Phone project. And so how do I create a PCL? Let's actually add one to the solution here. I'm going to have problems here, aren't I? OK, so I'm going to go into my solution. I'm going to add a project, new project. And like I said, it's actually a template right in Visual Studio. It's called, as you can imagine, Portable Class Library. That's what it is. So we're going to add one here. And let's just use the default name of Portable Class Library 2. If I click OK, it gives me the default of what target frameworks I might want to use this Portable Class Library in. And of course, I have Windows Phone 7 and higher. I have .NET for Windows Store. Those are the two I want. So I'm going to accept those. And it's just going to add Portable Class Library to my project called Portable Class Library 2. So I've already done that. So just like in the cooking shows, I'm going to pull one out of the oven. And let's look at this one. This is portable reuse.pcl. Let me just show you the properties for this project. This is a portable class library, and I have the exact same target frameworks of what we saw just a few minutes ago, right? And so let's just, I kept it very simple. And so in that portable class library, I really only have one .cs file, which has one method called simple addition. So probably not something you're going to want to reuse. But as an example, it's quite useful. So simple addition is the method I have. And by building that simple addition in a public static class, I can now reuse that class in either Windows 8 or Windows Phone. This reuse.pcl is going to get compiled to a DLL. That DLL is going to be embedded when I build my Windows 8 application. It's going to take that DLL and put it in my Windows 8 application. And it's going to do the same thing on Windows Phone, identical DLL. So I don't have to worry about sharing code. It is identical code. So if I come to Windows Phone 8, you'll see that I am actually referencing reuse.pcl there. I've added as a reference that reuse. Can you guys see that? Sorry, I realize the screens are a little small here. So in WP8, reuse.wp8, I have reuse.pcl. And then, again, just to keep it simple, I have this main page XAML.cs. Let me just come over here. And you'll see that I have unnavigated to I'm taking, creating a sum variable, and I'm just doing simple addition, 2 plus 4. Most of us can do that in our heads, but we're going to use a helper class here to do that. And then we're going to write it to output. And then I can do the exact same thing in Windows 8, in a Windows 8 application. So this, sorry, I guess I should have shown you that. This is a Windows Phone 8 app target, right? Windows Phone OS 8.0. And so here I've pulled in that reuse PCL. Then I have the same thing, reuse.win8, where I have a Windows Store application, right? And I'm doing the exact same thing here. So I can reuse this thing on navigated to some reuse.pcl.helper, simple addition 7, 8. Does this make sense? You guys getting this? Do you think you could use this to share code between applications? Yes? No? Anyone having issues? Any questions? Am I going too slow? Should I go faster? Are you guys, can you hear me? Okay, let's keep going. All right, so the other thing that is really useful in cases where, for whatever reason, you can't put stuff into a PCL, you may actually want to share source code between Windows 8 and Windows Phone. So you may have some source code, you may have some base class libraries, for whatever reason. You want to reuse benriga.cs. I want to have that in my Windows 8 application, and I want to have benriga.cs, which is virtually identical in my Windows Phone application. And so if you think about that, the easiest way would be, okay, well, I've written it once, Control-C, Control-V, perfect, right? And the problem with that, of course, is as soon as I fix a bug in one, I haven't fixed it in the other, or then I get into these weird situations where it becomes non-maintainable. And so the easiest way to do that is to actually share the exact same file. And the way you do that is by linking virtually the same file in one project to the same file in the other project. Is anyone doing this already? Okay. You guys probably shouldn't be here. You probably know all the tricks already. So when I do that, when I link a file, and you can see here, we're going to do it in a second, but when I do it, I can do add as link, so I can add a file rather than adding an existing file into my project where it actually copies it into my project. We're going to add it as a link. And by doing that, it's kind of like, I don't know how many of you have seen linked files in Unix. Sometimes you do that, right, where you have it's like a shortcut to one. And so essentially what you're doing there is sharing a link to the same file. So if I change it in my Windows 8 project, it's actually already changing it in my Windows Phone 8 project. Same and vice versa, right? So I'm actually using the exact same file. And Visual Studio does all the magic behind the scenes of making sure that everything matches. And so if you do that, then of course you have some code in Windows 8 or Windows Phone that may be different, right? And so then you have to think about, okay, so if I have different code in Windows 8 versus different code in Windows Phone 8, how do I do that? How do I do that platform-specific code in a way that I can then reuse it, that same file, right? And then you have to use some additional techniques. Things like class inheritance, we'll see that in a second. Things like conditional blocks. For instance, sometimes you may have different namespaces that you might want to use one namespace in Windows 8, another namespace in Windows Phone, that you might use conditional compilation there. And then also partial classes and methods, which we won't talk about today, but is just a little bit more advanced technique that you can also use. So the first one is the pound if conditional, which essentially enables or disables pieces of code based on your target platform, right? So you can say pound if netfx underscore core, and then give it whatever compilation you need there. And of course, if you dot not netfx core is actually Windows 8. So if you put anything in there, then you tell it, then all of your Windows Store applications already have that conditional compilation there, and so it will just include that code for your Windows 8 applications. And then you switch to your Windows Phone application, it will just switch that and say, oh, okay, well now it's Windows Phone, I'm going to compile it as if it's Windows Phone, and so it will use the other stuff. So this is useful where there's subtle differences between your code. I would caution you to be careful not to overuse this. It's very easy to write code using conditional compilation that becomes impossible to maintain, or very difficult to maintain, or very easy to introduce bugs that you cannot find later. So be very careful. So let me just give you some examples here. So in this case, I'm using pound if netfx core, and then pound else using system. So I'm using two different using statements. So I'm using two different namespaces. So if I then include this code in a Windows 8 store application, it will actually compile with this line of code. If I switch to Windows Phone, it will compile with this code. And in fact, Visual Studio makes it easy for you to see what's going on. You can see how this one's grayed out. So clearly, this was copied from a Windows Phone application because this one is actually the non-grayed out. So that's the one in a Windows Phone application that would get compiled. There are some things you can do with conditional compilation, like I said, that are bad. Here's an example of a not great way to use conditional compilation. In other words, don't copy this, don't do this. It will work, but it will make it very difficult for you to understand what's going on. So here I have a method signature that is different between Windows Phone and Windows 8. And the only difference is that one of the parameters is culture info, culture for Windows 8, and string language for Windows Phone. And so by using that conditional compilation, I can actually change the method signature from one to the other. So again, if you look at this, yeah, great, no problem. But if you look at it in 3 months, you'll be scratching your head going, why did I do that? And what's going on? So my suggestion is if you need to do something like this, is you pound if the whole method signature. It would just make it easier for you to understand what's going on. So I would include the whole line in here and then just copy it and change the whole line in here, right? So that would be one way to do that properly. Before we get to inheritance, let's actually see, let me just switch back. How am I doing on time? I just realized I don't have a clock up here and the timer wasn't started. How much time do I have? 40. I still have 40 minutes to go? 10:15. I have 15 minutes? 10:15. I have 25 minutes. Okay, so let's talk faster. let me just switch out and come back to my code here. So if I go back to my reuse here, you'll see that there are now ways. So I have my portable class library here. So if I want to reuse this helper.cs, right? Let's say I want to reuse that in my other portable class library for whatever reason. I can add that. I can right-click and say, where is it? Add existing item. And I'm not going to go and find it, but just because I'm going to show you another technique. You see how normally you would add, and there's that add button in the bottom right-hand corner there. But you'll also notice, you probably haven't noticed this before, there is a drop-down arrow there. You can say add as a link. And the difference there, as I explained to you, is if you add as a link, then you're not adding the file. So if I just add it, it's actually going to take that file and copy it into my project. If I add it as a link, it's going to keep that file wherever it is, but add a link to that file in my project. And so that way I have that same file two different places, but I'm editing it, that same file from two different places. Make sense? Let me show you another way to do this, which is actually a little bit more convenient, is I can grab that file. Whoops, wrong way. I can grab that file by holding the Alt key. I can drag it over and release it. Did you see what happened there? It's kind of hard to see. Let me zoom in there. So what I did is I held down the Alt key, and I dragged this file up to this library. And you can see how this helper.cs, right? It's the exact same file. The only difference is this one has a little glyph on it that shows that this is a link to some other file somewhere else. And so now if I make a change in one of these, let me just look at it. So if I come over here, whoops. Ah. Here we go. So if I make a change here and say, I don't know, let me just add a comment, right? And save that, right? So I'm now changing that in reuse.pcl. If I now come up here and look at that same file, let me close it. That same file over here, you can see that I've now, whatever change I make to one, I'm seeing in the other, right? So really handy. Right-click, add existing. You can add one file at a time doing that. If you use the Alt, you can actually drag a whole folder over, and then it just makes it much easier. So remember that Alt drag. It's one that I just learned recently, and it just makes your job much easier. How are we doing there? Okay, let's see. I lost my way now. Okay, so let's talk about inheritance. So inheritance, as you can imagine, sharing code works. So we now know how to share code between two projects that is identical. And we can do conditional compilation. But obviously, conditional compilation will only take you so far. And as I mentioned, you really want to limit your conditional compilation to very subtle places where it just makes your job easier. Don't overuse it. Inheritance, on the other hand, makes it much easier for you to do some things that are platform specific and then share that using your code. And there's a couple of ways to do this. There's where basically you have a base class that then gets reused across Windows 8 and Windows Phone, and you just reuse that when you inherit. And I'll show you how I'd use that in a couple of seconds using some examples. So the base class is you're fully implemented, that's one way, and then your subclass just adds platform-specific functionality. Or another one would be where your base class is incomplete and your subclasses implement the stuff that is platform-specific and implements those abstract methods to provide that platform-specific stuff that you need for either Windows 8 or Windows Phone. So that's a little abstract. Let's look at some examples of how you might do that. Here, I'm looking at two different classes. These are actually from two different files, but I just sort of copied them in so you could have a look at them. And so here I'm looking at the base view model. And so I'm looking at album page view model, which is inherited from Notify Base and implements the iView model. And so that's my public class, which would be something that I would share. And then when I'm looking at my Windows, I would have my Windows, sorry, my WinApp. Let me start. start over. I didn't get a lot of sleep last night, so that's probably why. So Win Album Page View Model, which inheritance allows me to do that. If I go a little further here, I have my Start Page View Model, which has this abstract method navigated to photo, and then I would implement that differently in Windows Phone versus Windows 8. And so here's how I would do it in Windows 8, for instance, right? So this is what I would share across my core, in my core, and share that project in Windows Phone and Windows 8. And then I would have this navigated to photo, which implements, right? So this is in my Windows version, my Windows implementation, where I have my navigation service.navigate. This is a Windows 8 specific call, this Windows 8 specific method that I'm using here. Does this make sense? Okay, so let's just recap. So developing apps for Windows Phone and Windows 8, again, even if you don't initially target both platforms, if you've decided you're going to do Windows Phone or you've decided you're going to do Windows 8, if you architect your application in such a way using things like MVVM and sharing, using portable class libraries for things where you think you're going to be able to reuse that stuff, do it in that way, and then you can target both platforms. And as I said, there are now techniques that you can use. There's a company called Xamarin, for instance, that allows you to take some of that same code that you perhaps have done for Windows Phone and then port that to iOS using, again, some of the exact same techniques, using C# and all that good stuff. Very handy stuff. And of course, it just makes it easier for you to share all of that stuff. You have to be aware of the APIs that are common to both platforms and which ones are not. I encourage you to look at MVVM. If you're not using MVVM today, I encourage you to have a look. There's lots of libraries that help you understand it and help you get used to it and help you to get started. Some people prefer to hand code it, but there are libraries to do that sort of thing. And then again, if you minimize the amount of code you had by using MVVM, you tend to minimize the amount of code you have in views, and you move that code to your view models. And as a result, those view models become much more portable. And you do that using things like commands, for instance, so that when you click on a piece of on-click event for a button, you don't put that code in your view. You use a command to send that code to your view model. Probably doesn't make sense if you're not using MVVM yet, but trust me, it makes your job a lot easier. So even if you're not using MVVM, I would encourage you to separate your data model from your UI and from your business logic. Again, no matter what you're going to do in the future, it's just going to make your job easier. And then think about some of these strategies to reuse your source code. We talked about some of them: portable class libraries, shared source files, poundIF compilation, class inheritance. All of that stuff just makes your job a lot easier. There are some additional resources. I mentioned some of you may have come in a little later. This session is a subset of a four-hour session that I've done. It has been video recorded, and you can go and get all of the source files and all of the video and all the PowerPoints. All of that stuff is available. Lots of good stuff there. I've put that all together in a bundle. So if you go to bit.ly/build-for-both, all of these resources are available to you in that one place. So I think I have it up here just to show you. Right? So if you go to bit.ly/build-for-both, you'll see all of these resources are available to you, including links to the videos and all of that good stuff. So hopefully that makes your job easier. So the only thing you have to write down, this is the only note you have to take down, build-for-both, bit.ly/build-for-both, and the capital B, capital F, capital B is important. It is case sensitive. The other thing I would say is please follow me. Do it for the kitty. And then the other last thing I would say is please fill out your evaluation form, but only if you enjoyed the session. If you didn't enjoy the session, I'm perfectly okay with you not filling out the evaluation form. And now, I don't know how much time. I tried to go fast enough to leave time for questions. How much time do I have? 15 minutes. Perfect. That's what I was shooting for. Yes, go ahead. Yeah, so the question was, is there a good SQLite portable class library? I'm actually using So a portable class library. Why would you need that in a portable class library? SQLite is portable in and of itself. So you basically, the way I've done it here, I'm not a SQLite expert, but the way I've done it here in my sample, whoops, wrong sample, is I have so this is an example of an application. This is called Photo Manager, and so here I have Photo Manager, which includes it's actually got a number of projects, right? Let me do this. So I have these are just folders, right? So Photo Manager includes PhotoManager.win8, which is the actual application, and then PhotoManager.core, which is shareable code primarily, and then I have PhotoManager.shared, which is actually a PCL, and then SQLite is just a bunch of SQLite references. And if you look, it's actually really easy to install SQLite in your extensions. There's a SQLite for Windows Phone and SQLite for Windows Runtime. It's all up there. It's really easy to install and get access to it. Yeah. Any other questions? Is that because you got it all and you're ready and you're willing and you're going to go and start writing code now? So how many people are using some of the techniques I use? I know some of you already raised your hand a few times. So this was too easy, right? Sorry. Okay. Are there any other questions? Was this useful? Okay, good. All right. So the last thing, I know I joked about it, but please do, if you do have any questions whatsoever, whoops. I joked about it, but seriously, if you have any questions, please, about.me/ben.riga. It's more than my pleasure to answer via email or Twitter or Facebook or Google+, whatever it is. I'm on all those networks. Please let me know. It's my job to make sure your applications get published in the store. And so if you're blocked, please let us know how we can help. Sorry, the question is, where can you find the slides? bit.ly/build for both includes everything, including links to the source code for Photo Manager and this other cooking application that we use for our samples, as well as links to all sorts of other things. And actually, as I find new resources, so for instance, I haven't done this yet, but there was a really good session. We have an annual, well, it's not annual, but we have a very good conference that we put on quite often. It's called Build. And there was just one 2 weeks ago, and someone did a session on this sort of thing, Matt Heidinger, really smart guy from a company called Clarity. And he did a session, and I'm going to add a link to his session. I'll add it to this bundle, right? So I'll just add it at the bottom. And so if you're looking for resources around building for both Windows 8 and Windows Phone, I try to keep this up to date. It does point to the slides. Again, if you find something that you're missing for whatever reason, just email me. Don't be shy. It's my job. All right, so if there's one last chance for questions, I guess we're going to finish early. I should have added more code. Thank you very much.